have our dear friend, Pastor Mike Brown, with us from Nakuru, Kenya. I met Pastor Mike just about a year ago now in Mombasa, Kenya, at a conference we were sharing together. And then we had a chance to spend some more time together in the month of August when I was back in Kenya with a team of people. And Pastor Mike ministered here a week ago on a Sunday morning. And when we talked afterwards, he said, "Pastor Glenn, I feel like I want to come back. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to come back to minister to couples, to pray for healing in marriages, and to pray for blessing on families." And so Mike has come to do that. We had an opportunity a little over a week ago to share in an offering. Mike lost his church building in violence that happened in Kenya in December of 2007 and January of 2008. And what moved me so much is when I went to Mike's city and we went to the lot, the open lot, beautiful level piece of ground where 1,100 people come and worship out in the sun with no roof over their heads and no walls around them and no floor under their feet. But because they love Jesus, they come and worship there. And so we shared in an offering to help rebuild the roof. And the Lord was so good to us. And there was an outpouring here at harvest time. And then when a church in England heard about the outpouring here, they joined in the fun. And I believe that there's about enough there to do the whole project now, Pastor Mike. Is that right? But tonight, what I'd love to do is tonight, I would love to send Pastor Mike home with a personal blessing for him and for his family. And so at the end of our time tonight, we're going to have an opportunity to share in an offering. And this is, Pastor Mike, this is not for your church. This is for you. And this is for you and your wife and your family. And how many of you know, how many of you were here a week ago when Pastor Mike was ministering? Okay, so you know that anything could happen, right? So this is the way we're going to work this. We're going to receive the offering at the end, but there are offering plates on either side of the back door. And if you have to leave at some point and there's still ministry going on and we don't want to break the flow of the Spirit, I want to just ask you to share as generously as you can in the offering at the back door. And if you have to go before we have a chance to receive that offering for Pastor Mike, okay? All right, bless you. I want you to give your very warmest welcome for our dear friend, Pastor Mike Brown.
Amen. I bless the name of the Lord and praise the Lord. I'm really humbled by Pastor Glenn for his love just to allow me to come here again, and the love you showed to the work that is going on in Kenya. I just want to thank God. And it was through the move of the Holy Spirit that I felt I should have an opportunity just to speak some blessing over marriage, married people, over your marriage in Jesus' name. And this is not me, because sometimes we expect someone who is speaking about something, he should be like a star or the best in that area. But see, this is why Paul, when he was talking about the communion, he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also pass unto you." Because I know here, as I look at the people here, the people who have been married longer than I. But you know what? I have the microphone. So you have no choice but to listen. Love you, people. Hallelujah. Love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. God has been faithful. In this time, I'm going to share my testimony for a few minutes about my life, my marriage. And then, you should know, when you hear Kenyan talks for a few minutes, he needs serious prayers. So those who can pray, they should pray now. I'm sure God is going to bless you. But before I do this, there are some special people here. I have my friends, I have all Jose and other people who have come, who are my friend here. But then there's also some very, very special people. I want to welcome them just to stand. And if they are there with their wives, I want them to come here and they kiss their wives in the name of Jesus. We have Pastor Nick and Patty. We have Brian and Terry Kelly. We have Paul and Denise. This is their anniversary. Where are these people? Where are these people? Where are these people, man? Where are these people? Where is Paul? Where is Paul? Hey, hey, come here. Come in front here. Come here. Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. Oh, we honor you. We honor you. Congratulations. Ah, congratulations. Hey, now, we'll start with Pastor. How long have you been married?
19 years.
19 years! Ah, my goodness. Please, please, please. Let us give them a good hand clap offering when they say 19 years is not a joke. Hallelujah.
19 years and 1 hour.
19 years and 1 hour. Congratulations.
8 years.
8 years. Oh, my goodness. I want to wish you happy anniversary. Well done. May God bless you. Let us honor them as they are sitting down. God bless you. Very blessed with you people. Hey, hey. I think this day is dedicated to you. This day is simply dedicated to you. I had a friend of mine that in marriage conference, he said he has been married for, let me go down here. And they said there is no humiliation in humility. So I want to be near you. I want to see you. I want to talk to your heart. I had this friend of mine who says he has been married for 60 years without a row one day. No quarrel for their life. They only argued once. Only once. So I really wanted to know the secret. And so he gave me the story. He said the first day in their honeymoon, they had to hire donkeys to go to a certain mountain. And this one of the donkey that the wife was riding on was very bad donkey that after a few minutes, she fell to the donkey and she shouted one. And the second minute, again, the donkey did something silly. She fell down. She said, oh, donkey two. And at that time she fell, she just removed a gun and killed the donkey. Man, this guy was so annoyed. He said, honey, what are you doing? And he said, one. Since then, no more argument. So they have not argued for 60 years because you don't want to go to two. Another wonderful couple here, they said, by the way, I do subscribe jokes to Joe Austin. I send them jokes to him and he pays me. I enjoy the job. Another beautiful family, they said, they were talking and this woman was in a women meeting and she had all the women talking about how they discussed about divorce and she'll say, hey, how about you? Have you ever discussed about divorce? Say, what is divorce? What? No. She said, oh, praise God. No, we don't discuss divorce. We discuss murder. So, oh, bless the name of the Lord. So they never discussed divorce. Now, when I got married, I did everything good. Everything. I had good plans. I wanted to show because that was my day to shine. And I had all the plans down. I raised money from friends. People blessed me. I had a team of friends from England. I've been doing missionary work in Britain for a long, long period. You know, America and England and other nations, you may not know why we are here. We are here by right. You people came and told us what to be, and you forgot. So we are coming back to tell you what you told us is real. You preached to us, and you forgot what you told us. So we're just coming back. The Bible says, cast your bread on the water, and after many days, do you know, Pastor Glenn, I want to assure you, the big building is going to happen in Jesus' name. God is going to cause. Why? Because you have casted your bread on the water. Hallelujah. Now, when I did all the plans during my marriage, planning and everything, and during the day of the wedding, I forgot the ring. I'm telling you, I could not remember people do wear rings. Okay, you know, I've been a street boy. I started wearing shoes when I was 17 and a half. And let me tell you the truth. The first time somebody blessed me with the shoes, I forgot I had the shoes. So I visited the family, and because they had a carpet, and in Africa we have a lot of dust, so to honor people, you don't go in with your shoes. So you remove your shoes outside, so I did removed. And because my legs are still hard, they're just like soles. I forgot I had shoes after the meeting, I just left. And so they had to call me and say, hey, you have left your shoes. And oh, thank you. I had forgotten, you know. That's how it was. That's the truth. And so I didn't remember about the ring. And I had never seen marriage or anything working, really. All the people I knew who had married, they were complaining. So all the example of marriage was really complaining, saying about this. And today we are going to deal with that in the name of Jesus. So when I went to the altar, and there was a time for the wedding, I had invited very important people. I never had a ring. So when my wife called me, they were on the way coming. I was standing in front waiting because I know she will still take 3 hours to be here. Because they take four steps forward, six steps backward. So I knew it would still take time. So I rushed to make a ring. And I made a ring with a wire. I just borrowed a hanger, cut it down, and I folded it with the pliers which was in my car, and I made a wedding ring. So this is a kind of the wedding ring I had for my wife. And then for me, she had to use faith. So she just pretended she did something, but it was nothing. But there's something I want to share on that. I told her, our love is not in rings. You know, sometimes we spiritualize rings, how they are round, how they are wonderful, they are gold and everything. It was until a year later, when I was preaching in Britain, I was sharing this with Ben Hinn's wife, the testimony about my marriage and how God blessed us. And she was in tears, and she removed her ring, which was 35,000 pounds, to give it to me to take to my wife. It was the best. I mean, I couldn't believe, you know, now a temptation. Take it to the shop or your wife. So I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear what she said properly. Did you mean the shop or the wife? So she said the wife. So I took this ring and I called the church. I told them it's my time to shine. We are repeating the ceremony. So over, the people could see that ring with beautiful diamond, gold, expensive ring in all Kenya. I'm telling you, in Kenya, no woman has that ring. I bless the Lord for that. So, after that, one day, she lost it. Nah, she lost it. I mean, I couldn't believe. So, that was good for me because it became an excuse not to buy anything for her. So anytime I went to my missions and I traveled, I went to Pakistan, I went to South Africa, I went to other nations of the world, I would come, whether I come with anything or not, she doesn't mind because she can't ask. Because I just tell her, remember the ring and the comfort. So the thing became a wound in our marriage. So that because I valued the ring, I could remember the price. And I remember the shopkeeper who was willing to pay some money for it. And I thought that was everything. So the one thing that I'm sharing now is the joy factor. The joy factor in our marriage was destroyed. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter how people think. When marriage, joy factor is attacked. And that's the key for the enemy. He doesn't care how long you've been with your wife. You can be with her for 40, 50. If he's still the joy in that marriage, he has gotten the key of destruction. And so the joy factor was destroyed. And I started praying. I tried to talk to her how, okay, I repented, but all the same, I remember the price. I did everything. I did all the things to tell her how I love her, how I value her, how she's the only thing on earth that I think of. But still, every time it came to something that means money, she knows I will remind her about the ring. So again, she never asked anything. So she never had anything good because she was afraid. And God gave us our first daughter, very, very beautiful girl. And when she was about 3 years old, I started treating my family, making them happy. I tell you, this is different from Africa because we don't do that. But I had read the word of God. I want to tell you, there is no perfect marriage if you don't follow the word of God. The Bible says the cord of three cannot be easily broken. When you allow God to be the third person in your marriage must stand. The cord of three. When your marriage, you are the only, you know, God must be the center. When you, because we are all parallel. We are not equal. We are not the same. So only we need to have one aim. For us to meet, we must have one aim. If we have two people, one on this side, let me show an example. Come here, my brother. And pastor, my pastor, stand there just at the end. Thank you. So this is the real marriage, the way it is. She was born from a different family. She doesn't know anything about you. You just met in the name of the name love. And you know love has got question marks. So you are going the different direction. So no matter how you try, there is a gap. You cannot come and be together. The only thing that can make you come closer is when you have one aim. Now, you are there. Let us aim to her, at her. Now, that is God for temporarily God, okay? Right. So we are aiming at God. So in our marriage, if we aim at God, we end up meeting. The more we go closer to God, the more we come closer to one another. And that's the only way. That's the only key. So I tried to make, thank you so much. I tried to make my wife happy with, but the ring. And, you know, the Bible says all things work together for them that love the Lord, them that have been called according to God's purpose. And so I started believing God for something. I wanted to buy another ring. I wanted to do everything. I tried all this. People blessed me. And nothing happened. But when we had our daughter, one day we were at a picnic somewhere. And my daughter, for the first time, she saw a chameleon. Now, this is Africa. Thank you so much, Gina. In Africa, you don't keep pets. Because sometimes we have a lot of witchcraft. So once you have a pet, they might think you're using it for your own agenda. So she saw a chameleon, and she said she wanted the chameleon. And I was so, she started crying. I knew now we will have problems. She will not eat. She will take that against us. So I decided I'm going to take that chameleon for her. So I took the chameleon. I fear the chameleon myself. But just for the sake to make her happy, I paid the price. Carried the chameleon into a small box. I took it home. She was so happy, proud of the daddy who doesn't fear the chameleon. But down deep my heart, I'm ready to run. And so I put the chameleon down with the box outside the house. I want to make a small cage. And the chameleon disappears. Trust me. We look at the chameleon. We decide now. She starts crying again. I decide now is the chameleon search. When I open the washing machine, the washing sink, I open this, there was the ring. All things, even a chameleon, can work for good for them that love the Lord. And that one restored our marriage. And so I knew that was something so small, but it happened. So my daughter forgot about the chameleon because when we saw the ring, there was a different celebration. So it was a different celebration. My wife was so happy, and she was like, as if she just kept it there for some time. So she was like, I knew, I just kept it there, and now it's there. But so I told her, no way. And so God started working in my life, and I discovered in marriage, there are things, if we live in any marriage will never work. And I've seen it, and God has given me the grace. And so after the ring issue, God talked to my heart, because I never had parents or people that I saw as an example of a marriage. So I had to take an encounter. Sometimes in life, you have to take an encounter where you sacrifice. Say, if you find there's a need in your life, for you to succeed, you must take an encounter. Let me tell you, anything under the sun has got a price tag. The problem with many people is like we are used to fast food until we want fast marriage. Packed, baked, and tinned. Things that are ready. Everything must have a price. If you want a wonderful marriage, today you must be willing to make a covenant that you want to pay the price. And the price is not cheap, because I had to pay the price. I had to forget I'm an African. I had to forget I'm the head. You know, African, not only we think we are the head, we think we are the only one. So they start dominating. You want to press her. You think she's not. God had to speak to my heart. And God told me, Mike, I want to use your marriage as a sample to the nation of Kenya. And let me tell you, believe it or not, or do your personal search, right now I advise all the cabinet minister, including the vice president, when they have problem in their marriage, they call me and I like it. Because I paid the price. They will call me over the problem and I will talk to their problems. I will tell them the root, and we will encounter the root and we'll come out victorious. But everything, let me tell you, every joyful family, there must be a price to pay. Nothing. God has shown us with love. Love has a price. For so God loved the world, he paid the price of Christ. You cannot love and you don't want to pay the price. I was just reading about Jacob. The Bible says when Jacob met Rachel, when he met Rachel, Jacob was so excited, such that when he was told how many years he will work, read your Bible, he thought it was like few days. Just imagine 7 years becoming few days. When he worked, I mean, the Bible says, it's very, very clear in the book of Genesis, that Jacob was so faithful, Genesis 29, you can get the story there, that Jacob loved so much, he wanted that woman at any cost, at any cost, at any cost, that when he was told by Laban, okay, sir, thank you, one this is 7 years. He worked for 7 years, and the Bible records it was like just few days, few days. That was the price for the love. But then he was cheated. Then again, he had to work for another 7 years, which was now like 7 years. But the first one, because it was full of love, they were like 7 days, few days. Now, love has a price. You must write that one down if you're writing something. Love, or you must speak it to yourself, hey, there is a price. Love has a price. If you don't know the price, that's why people give up. That's why we get used to it. Because we have set in our mind, it is just temporary. And the devil knows one thing, let me tell you. If he can attack a family, he can destroy any nation. If the enemy wants to destroy the nation, he will destroy the family. If the enemy wants to take to possess anything, he will use the family. Because if the devil wants to destroy any church, he will start with the family. And that's why we have more attacks in our families because the devil knows that's the source of power. But we have a way we can do it. If people are willing to know one simple secret, that is pay the price. If you don't pay the price, you will never know the reason why your family is important. Your family is nothing to do with the children. How many children you get? Children, you know, sometimes we glorify children as if it is the biggest achievement. And that's why in the Bible there is a man called Methuselah. The Bible says he lived for about 996 many years. The only thing he did was to give children and died. That was the only achievement. So giving children is not a big, it's a blessing. It is a blessing for the marriage. But marriage is nothing to do with what you get. It is nothing to do with your what you have. It is ability of commitment, whereby you commit to one another that this time we have committed, there is difference. Let me tell you, unity is not uniformity. You must understand that we are different. We have got different. My wife is different from me. She doesn't speak much. I thank God she listens much. She's completely different. But God knew the best way to punish me. God knew, and I enjoy. I am gladly. I'm happy. She's completely different. And she's there because God, you know, when someone asked me, why are women beautiful? I just said, simple, read the Bible. God created man, and he was so happy by what he did, but he discovered there were some few mistakes, so he created a woman. He's the latest model. So with the little problems. So we have to know now, where is the source of problem in our marriage? When you're sick, I don't know, I've been sick, I told you, for 9 months. I was admitted in the hospital. And I remember very well the first time before my health went bad or was too bad. Every time a doctor came, sometimes he could not come with everything. The first thing he asked me was, show me your tongue. And I could stick out my tongue and he knows I'm okay or I'm dying. Show me the tongue. And I want to tell you the root of victory in the marriage is in the tongue. So every time God will show me the tongue. Now, the tongue, we know, I know, I've known Pastor Glenn, you have preached this. No preacher has never taught about the tongue. That confession is the power. The only evidence of my salvation is my confession. That if any man confessed with his mouth, believed in his heart, he's saved. And confession is life. And I was going through the Bible about the people who made a confession in their marriage, and right now they are paying the price of their confession. I said, this guy who worked for 7 years as if they were a few days. When Rachel took the idol of his father and hid it on herself, the Bible says, Jacob was asked by Laban, who stole my idol? And Laban said, may the person who did that die. And the Bible says, she never had another baby. She died. When she was giving birth, she had the last baby, Benjamin, and she died because of the word of the mouth. Today, there is something special, Pastor Glenn, we're going to do here. Many people, because of religious spirit, because of religious spirit, there are things that sound so good, but they are not biblical. There's this, many people say, the Lord helps those who help themselves. You might think it's in the Bible. Okay? Because if you know the Bible properly, it's not there. But it's a quote that is like in the Bible. And one of the quotes that the enemy has used to our family is when people went before the Lord and confessed about death, sickness, and poverty. And we thought it would sound so good. I love you in sickness, in poverty. So the enemy makes sure in your marriage, you will never miss those things. Nowhere in the Bible says you should. Why should you mention what is not your portion? So I had a religious bishop came to my wedding and he had this book. I said, listen, don't read that. I just love her in the name of Jesus. Forget about poverty. Forget about diseases. Forget about all these things in the name above every name. So today the first thing we will do is to cancel. Those people who say those, we can renounce them. That's why you find in your marriage, after 1 year, there is some disease. Because the devil makes you, he's accused us of brethren. He tells God, hey, the time has come. Let me take them what they say they wanted. Disease, poverty. Some marriage can never work because every time you struggle. It is not the will of God. But your confession must come to pass. So God taught me, that was the first thing God told me, that never confess failure. Because we shall live by the fruit of our mouth. So the greatest root of destruction in marriage, divorce, it is the failure we confess. And when it's too much, we can't handle the pressure. Because we allowed the devil there. When you allow the devil, you give him 1 inch. The Bible says, give no enemy what? Advantage. If you give Satan advantage, he will bring reasons. So many people in marriage in the world, religious spirit came to us. We never knew it was bad. We thought it was a good style. When you look, and she feels so nice when you say, even in poverty. And she smiled. And in health, she doesn't smile much. In sickness, amen. The enemy makes sure you will never lack those things. Today you must renounce them. Now, I want to go deep on something I want you to listen. God is talking about Jerusalem. Now, this is something I want each one of you to open your heart and your ears to listen properly. This is in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 1. God is telling Jerusalem the reason of their failure. And Ezekiel... it's Ezekiel. I know you, the way you pronounce. I'm trying to speak English. You know, someone said to me the other day, your English is not that good. I said, it's better than Pastor Glenn's Swahili. Have you?
Hakuna Matata.
Oh, you try. Hallelujah. Now, this man of God, the Bible says, chapter verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, and he says, son of man, confront Jerusalem with her detestable practices, and say to, this is what the sovereign Lord says to Jerusalem, your ancestry birth was from the land of Canaan, and your father was an Amorite, and your mother was a Hittite. And on the day when you were born, your cord was not cut, nor you were not washed with clean, or you were not washed with water to make you clean, nor you were not rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloth, nor no one looked at you with pity, or I had compassion enough to do these things, to do anything for you. Rather, you are thrown out in the open field for the day you were born. You were despised. And then I passed by. I saw you kicking about in your own blood and laying there in your own blood. And I said to you, leave. Now, this is a prophetic message. If you read another translation, it says, tell Jerusalem about her abomination. Why is Jerusalem suffering? And here we find what we call spiritual mapping. That the reason why Jerusalem is going through trouble, it is simple. It is, the Bible says first, there are two people. It says, your mother was a Hittite. and your father was an Amorite. Now, for the Bible scholars, Hittites were very, very immoral people. In fact, it was a tribe that was practicing sexual immorality in the open. They were worshiping the god of immorality. They were going to a stadium or to a Colosseum or somewhere big in a big open field, and they would compete who can have many women, who can do evil more than others. They were the Hittites. The Amorites were so demonic. They were idol worshippers. They were the people that never believed in any God. In God. They believed in themselves. They even worshipped themselves. Now, you can be an idol worshipper, but time comes when you even now worship your own self. These were the Amorites. Now, God is telling Jerusalem, the reason why there is this sin, there is this failure in the life of Jerusalem, it is because of the parents. David in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Psalms 51, he says, "Oh God, forgive me, Father, for I was born into sin." Now, here the Bible says, even when this child, now I want you to see the picture, when the child Jerusalem was born by these two parents, the Bible says the navel, the cord, the umbilical cord that unite the baby and the child, for the doctor you know better this, was not even cut. So everything that the parents had passed through the children. So no matter these people what they tried to do, there was a cord. Let me tell you, in a military experience, the only way to win battle without even using much force is the ability to cut the supply of the enemy. If you succeed that, you can have a proper victory. Now, in this Jerusalem, the supply was from the Hittites and was from an Amorites. So no matter what Jerusalem tried to do, they were falling into sin. David himself, he came from the generation of immorality. And so you find there was Tamar in the Bible, who was a grandmother of David. So when David fell into sin and the hand of God was heavy on him, David knelt and said, "Father, forgive me, for you know I was born in sin." There was that generation that was not cut. And let me tell you, believe me, many marriage has failure because there are some generational cords that has never been cut. You got married, that woman has her generation cord, you have some generation cord. Even the doctors, when you go with any disease, they ask you the first question, do you have this problem in your family? Do you have asthma in your family? Do you have people with cancer? Do you have these things right? And you see, generation curse is, the Bible says here, you are polluted in your own blood. So it comes in the blood. When there is a generational curse of divorce, I tell people, not one day I will ever judge someone for divorcing, because it happens. It is sometimes a curse. And there are people who love God so much, but they cannot stand. But when they discover the cord, there is no family that cannot stand. And a family can stand. I was in Britain, and one of the best preachers, Pastor Glenn, this is a mighty man of God. He's doing amazing work in the world. He has the heart of God. But this guy cannot keep a wife. He cannot, simply cannot do it. He get married. He just gives the word of knowledge the way God has said. He should now get a new girl, a woman. And he brings heart, and then they divorce. So he has divorced, and he has never stayed with a woman for 2 years. It's like maximum. And people love him because he's a man of God. There's nothing you can do about him. And everyone trying to help him. And when I was in my marriage encounter, learning, asking God, how can I have a perfect marriage? How can I win this battle in life? I met this man and said, "Mike, you know me, I'm big, I'm doing this, but I'm this problem." I said to him, "Is there anything in your blood?" And we discover his father was even worse. And he never saw it anything because he thought many people make decisions. Many people say, I was raised by a single mother. I will never be a single woman. And then all of a sudden it happens. Because it is not within your control. It is in the blood. Until today we speak to your blood to cut some cords. You can try in marriage. There are people who love their husbands, but all of a sudden something just crops up. You just have a complaint. You don't know why. The other women think your husband is the best, and you think you have the devil. You may not know this. Other men are saying, oh my God, this woman just, when you talk about, they say, oh, look at their husband, look the way he looks. And you are thinking, oh my God, now Father, deliver your servant from this Satan. It is because of the connection. Now, Jerusalem had a cord of sin. David had a cord of sin. So David tried to keep his marriage. He could not stand. And so, because there was Tamar in his history, Rahab the prostitute was also in the genealogy of David. So how can you escape that? So he had this. So when David tried, even with the despise of the man, a friend of God, the man after God's heart, owns, you're nowhere near David. But when it comes that there was that cord, let me tell you, cord can make anything go wrong. When you have cord of lust, it has to be, if it doesn't cut, you love the Lord. There are people I know in our ministry, they love the Lord, but the cord pushed them to the wrong side. And sometimes we take it easy. And this cord passes to our children. Our children start rebelling against us. And then it goes to our children. But today we can make a decision in here and say, this is the end it can go. It is not going beyond this place. It is going to, not going beyond my family. And you can put a stop. You can put a stop. You can say, this is, okay, Satan, you have operated enough. You see, the cord is so powerful. If the cord of poverty is in your family, until you cut it, you do a good business, it drops. You get a good deal, it goes. Family is so happy, all of a sudden you go down. And you wonder why. Why? Why is this? Why? I'm praying. I'm paying my tithe. I'm doing all I can do. I'm faithful, pastor. Why is this happening? The men, I'm telling you, the best people who have divorced, they are good people. You won't believe. They are nice men. They are nice women. But the enemy brings the cord. You live with a woman, the house becomes, you must clean the housetop. Because the Bible says it's better to stay in the housetop than living with a quarrel woman. I tell people, you can kill a lion today outside there. And you come home with the victory, people singing around you. And your wife just comes and says, what? And you think you killed a dog. Because they have power. Let me tell you, your mouth has got power. Women has power. Once you're married, a woman is powerless until she's married. Or am I the only one who knows this? I'm telling you, when you're courting a woman, you can take her the way you want. Wait, she will wait. She will not complain. She will do everything. But once she comes, then you know now the day of the Lord has come. She's so powerless. You enjoy. You say, I tell you, people tell you, hey, sir, have you prayed about, no, you don't need prayer. No, when you're in love, you become blind. 7 days, 7 years becomes like few days. You're in love. So people say, oh, no. I see in my church people walking, coming for wedding. The following day, they come with their rings. Pastor, we are done. Pray for us to divorce. It's easy because the cord. And I'm saying a woman is powerful. I know this. I was in 2002. In 2001, I was honored by the president of Kenya, the former president Daniel Arap Moi. He gave me the spear. They call it the head of the spear of the golden heart. That is one of the biggest honor in Kenya you can receive as a civilian. This is because for my work with orphans and with the unreached tribe like Maasai and the Somalia. So I got this. So the following day, all the big universities, they were knocking my house, offering me a job. And I was pastoring a church that cannot even afford to support us. So we were in pain. We were in poverty. We needed a job. And the army people came with a good offer. They said, Mike, if we get you to the military, you become a pastor, chaplain in the military, we will pay this, get a house, get this. It was a good offer. So this big offer, they came. I called them to the hotel. We discussed. I agreed. I told them, okay, what I'll do, the only thing I wait before I sign this is to discuss with my wife. Just like a good man. So I went to my wife. I said, honey, my wife, she's called Diane. I said, Dee, I call her Dee, dear Dee, I have a good job. God has blessed us, man. We are going to get 50,000 allowance. We can't get a car. And she just said, job? I went back. I told the people that we have discussed. I'm not taking the job. Just one word was like a discussion for 1 year. I just went. I told her, hey, she said, job? You want to be employed? I also, it's okay. So I went, I told them, we have had a long discussion with my wife, and I've decided I'm not taking an offer. They're powerful. And so if they can use that power positive, any man can be a giant. I'm telling you, if they can use that power, I tell you, I don't care how many people in the church tells me, Mike, you preached well. Oh, it was power. I don't care. It's my wife. If she just said it was okay, I know. That was good. But if she said, you are long, I know I need something to repent for. They have power. They speak to your heart. Because they are part of you. A woman is your soft side. A man is a hard side of a woman. A woman is you, but your soft side. A man is you, but your hard side. That's why when Jesus went to the grave, he found a man cutting himself because he was possessed. One day God told me, that's our family. When you hurt your wife, you are hurting yourself. It's like cutting yourself with stones. But it is easy because the enemy courts are there. There are people who have become even missionary, who have become bishops, but they forgot one thing, cutting the cord. And this cord, the devil can hide it. He can hide it. I shared yesterday how I had a cord of accident, Pastor Glenn. I had a cord of accident. My father died in an accident. My mother in an accident. My three brothers in an accident, killed by accident. My sister, she died negligence, which is also an accident. And in 2007, coming from a good time, I have the best driver, he's bossing around. I had 8 accidents in one day, and 17 people died. The only thing that saved me was the prayer of the church. And today I want to commission this church to pray for their pastors. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your pastors. Because the Bible says, I shall strike the shepherd and the sheep will go astray. The only thing saved me was the prayer. 8, I'm talking in one day. I had an accident coming from Nairobi. A car rammed in that car I was in. We were about 12 people inside, 6 people died on the spot. I came out. I was shaking. I was confused. I went, I stopped another car to go to take people in the hospital. This driver was so shaking. He went, he rammed into another car. He died, the driver. I came out. It happened until I went even to the police to report about the accident. I had to go to court for 8 different accidents. The judge asked me, where? What did you do? You must repent. He thought I was Jonah. Or something. Or Paul. The way Paul tried to run, he had a snake, and it was the same. But God had to show me there was a cord of accidents. So I had to wake up and say, God, I'm breaking it. I was in England about 2 months ago. And I shared about the cord. God told me about there was a cord. And this woman came. And he had a cord of suicide. So I said, woman, come, we must cut this cord. We must cut this cord. And she was saying, no, it's not much. But we prayed. She didn't want to go through the total deliverance. And when she left, the dog just jumped. He had two dogs. They jumped out of the car and committed suicide. And she drove back. She says, hey, it is true. And we dealt with that spirit. We dealt with that spirit. The following day, the husband gave a secret that he was planning to kill the whole family. You see, the devil is a liar. When the enemy knows there is a cord in the family, he will use any ways. I've seen people crying. I've seen, Pastor Glenn, you've seen this in your office. People tell you, Pastor, I must do this. And you as a pastor, there's nothing you can do because you don't live with them. When people come to you, they say, Pastor Glenn, we have reached a place, we must divorce. You don't want to lose them. You don't want to do this. You cannot. You don't know. But when the enemy brings the fire in the house through the two cords, the Amorites and the Hittites, and he becomes the father, what hope do you have in that family? So the people divorced. This pastor I was telling you about, he had divorced 4 times. And he came to the conference. We told him there was a cord. And we saw the cord where it was. And we went through deliverance. We cut the cord. The guy was delivered. He was shocked. He was having demons. He was manifested. He decided, I don't care anything. I want deliverance. I want deliverance. And for the first time after divorce, he stayed for a few years. And now he's having a perfect marriage. He's having a perfect marriage. When the cord is there, it can bring sickness. It can bring failures. And the key of the cords is discouragement. Now, depression is the cord. Depression. People suffer with the depression. They're depressed. Sometimes you look at your wife depressed. You really wonder why. Have you ever tried that, to see that? You try to say everything. You have everything. You know, sometimes men, we think women need things. You bring this. You bring this. You do this. You find she's still there, looking at you as if she's going to die the following minute. You wonder why. The cord is there. You look down, you find she's coming from a family of discouragement. She cannot build. And that you pass. The wrong thing is this. The Bible says a righteous man passes inheritance to his children's children. And let me tell you, even an evil man passes inheritance. Your parents might have passed the things to you. You don't know. That's why there are things we know. You just feel it's like your father. You do something yourself. When you judge yourself, you feel, now this is, I've done like my father. I didn't like it. There are people who cannot keep their children in love, show them love. Not because they want, because the cord of hatred was planted by their parents. So they can never hug. I was in a meeting. There was this guy who had good children. He has never hugged them. And he don't know why. He feels they are men. He just feels ashamed to love his own children. The cord has been planted. When a cord of immorality, a cord of discouragement, a cord of anything, cord can destroy everything. This, the Bible says, when you are born, your navel was not. Now, people will tell me, hey, Mike, I am saved. And the Bible says the Lord Christ has redeemed me from all curses. I tell them it's true. That is, I don't argue with that. The Bible says Jesus died for the whole world. Is the whole world Christians? It's only those who take a step to receive it. You can work in a shop, which in a factory that makes soap, and you can still be smelling. You can still be smelling, and you're working in a factory of soap, because the soap will not say, okay, let me wash you because you are the one who is working for me. No way. You must take a step of faith, take a soap, go to the bathroom, wash your body. Otherwise, it will not have mercy on you. So you can be in a church, you can go to heaven and with the courts. Because that's not sin. But then you live a failure on earth. Jesus died. The meaning of the word salvation, it means soteria. Can you write that? Soteria. One day you'll tell people and they will know you know Greek. Soteria, which means total deliverance from sickness, deliverance from your soul, and deliverance from poverty. It's the whole thing, soteria. It is not just Jesus was made poor that the blessing of Abraham may come upon us. But then, finally, now good preacher, you must finish three times. Now this is the last one. Every family needs an altar. Every family needs an altar. What is an altar in your family? People, they have made money to be an altar in their family. So the joy is always there when money is there. There are people who have made birthday to be their altar. They are only happy when there is birthday or there is party or there is something. But you need to make Jesus an altar in your family. When Jesus, you have the altar of Christ in your family, Jesus becomes the unifying factor. Whether you have money or no money, you have Jesus. He's ever present. Because that's a clean altar. Whether you do something, there are women I know, they must be given gift every day for them to be good. So it's just like prostitutes. And the devil will use that. You, and that's the main thing is this, we control, we ask, what have you done to, and this thing passes to our children. And I hear when a woman tells their children, if you love mom, do this. If you love, so the child knows, he starts knowing manipulation. I must do this because I want to show this. And the wife, they say, if you love me, do this. That's manipulation. Manipulation is witchcraft. Love is free. What did you do to deserve Christ Jesus? He loved us while we were sinners. He loved us. He loved the world. Jesus loved me when I was bad than what I was. What I am now. So love has got no reason. I love my wife not because of what she can give. I want to love her because of what she is. And she's a gift now. This, write that one. Your wife, your husband is a gift from God. Now, even your friends, how he treats a gift shows you the respect. The way you treat your wife shows God the respect. The way your wife treats you shows God respect. So, but the cause makes us not to see these things. You see your wife, like your husband, like an enemy, that it was an accident. You got married. We must build an altar of family. And the man, you must allow God to use you to be the priest over that altar. To be the priest of the family. And then you can declare blessing to your sons. Your tongue can speak good things to your wife. You can change your wife. Those women who are here by any chance and maybe your husband is not saved. You have power to speak faith over that man, and he will change in the name of Jesus. That's the power we have. Don't be cursing. Don't say this man. You know, sometimes the devil just uses our words. If your man is not what I've said, you must pay the price. If he's not what he is, that's why you find someone divorced, married another person, he has another picture. Because once you have glued two papers together, no matter how careful you are, if you bring them apart, they will tear one another. So when you bring another paper, they are all broken papers. So that's why you cannot be satisfied. But today, when we break the cord, God can bring joy factor in the house. When the house has got joy, I tell you, I've seen poor people in our country. I tell you the truth, very, very poor. But you enjoy their marriage. You just wonder, what is this guy telling the wife? I know a man in my church, they walk together with them. They're so happy, I wonder. And the people, they are so poor. But they have joy. They talk together. You see them taking their children care together. They love what they pray for their children. They fast for their family. joy factor. You need to allow God to bring joy in your family. But the price must be paid. The price must, some of you, us men, must be crucified to die completely for ourselves so that we may know that your wife is a gift. Your children is gift from God. You must enjoy your marriage. How do you do it? Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's not what you think. You have to use one key, forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key. How many times do you forgive? Jesus gave us an answer. You forgive until someone is forgived. I forgive you and don't repeat it. No, that's not forgiving. He will still repeat it. You forgive until the forgiveness bears fruit and the man makes a decision. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to hurt her anymore. Forgiveness brings healing in any marriage. And today people here, there are families here, you can forgive your wife. You just look at you and say, I want to forgive you. And you do it from your heart. God can bring joy. I've been in a place, it was Sunday. Sunday we were in a church. I was only given a microphone to say, to greet the church. And the pastor says, use 2 minutes. And then he added another 2 minutes. In Africa, those are 50 minutes. And God gave me a word. And the family came. They didn't know even they were together in that church. These are people who are separated. They have been fighting. They don't want to stay. They came to the church differently. And on the altar, they met one another. And they came together, hold hands. And they were crying. And we led them to Christ. And we broke their walk. And they are going to go together again and live together.